Lori Houston's News for the Heart is dedicated to helping you give a voice to your own soul. Our hearts have the power to free us from pain and the struggles that keep us from awakening to our true essence. Join Lori now as we delve into our heart and soul to find the path that will open us to the possibilities and lead us to the life we love to live.
And good afternoon. This is News for the Heart. And today I have my awesome co-host who's come back, Tracy McBurney. It's now
our... Like, hear that laugh.
I was like, ooh. Anyway, I am so grateful to have Tracy back with us on our show and that it will be a monthly occurrence as often as we can. All right. Well, this has been... Well, we're into a new year, so... I'm really hoping that 2021 is going to be a better year. Some crazy things have already happened in this short span, but we'll go with that. So I know that there's been a lot going on in the last month that we've talked. And I know that we had a session and we did talk about the book Letting Go by David Hawkins. So I think that's where we're going to start today because I love the book actually. I wrote a blog on it probably a few years ago when it came out and I grabbed a copy, but let's see where this goes because I have a feeling it's going to go to a different and deeper direction. So, Tracy, welcome.
I haven't seen that blog that you wrote. I'd like to see it.
Okay.
It might be in your archives. Okay, so, well, Lori and I were talking and... So this is one of the things that's been in my world and very much in my consciousness is this book. And it's interesting how these things happen. So I had a consultation with my business coach. This would have been 3 or 4 weeks ago. She gave me 2 book titles and highly recommended that I hunker in to read them. And this was one of them. Then it would be 4 or 5 days later. So I wrote it down and didn't act on it, but went, okay, I will do that. Didn't act on it. 4 or 5 days later, I had a old client of mine, a student, who I had not spoken to in years, maybe 10 years. We had a little bit of a parting of the way back then, and I really could not help him the way he needed to be helped. And so he just needed to be released to go where he needed to go. He sent me an email and like 10 years later sent me an email and said, I don't know if you want to hear from me. I don't know if you'd even be interested or whether this is even a current email address, but I felt compelled to send you this note to tell you about these 2 books that it really felt like you needed to pay some attention to. I hope you're well. You don't have to respond to this email. And one of the books was this book. And then I'm maybe a day later listening to something on, seeing something on YouTube, watching a video. And I don't do a lot of hunkering in on YouTube. And I'm watching that video, whatever it was. And you know how when YouTube's finished and then if you don't click off right away, it starts cycling to something else. Mm-hmm. The very thing that it cycled to was Letting Go, Pathway of Surrender, David Hawkins.
Wow.
And an excerpt of 3 chapters of the book in audio form.
Huh.
And I'm just sitting there going, are you kidding me? Okay, I get it. It's time to really sit and listen to this. And, you know, those things, when we're really supposed to pay attention to something, they just keep coming back. And this was one of them. And so I started to really pay attention and I sat right there. I had time that very day and I sat and listened to the preface and I listened to the introduction and I listened to the first couple of chapters and then it clicked off. That was all that was being offered and got to my husband and said, the audiobook must exist. And I like that better than reading a physical book right now. And can you see what you can do to get that for me? And he got it right away. And I have been hunkering into those chapters and really going back to re-listen to those chapters for the last couple of weeks. And so I think that for anybody listening, that's not a new thing for me. When you're really supposed to pay attention to something and, or you're really supposed to act on something and it would be helpful for you to act on it now, not later, then you keep getting that brought back to you. Mm-hmm. And so my adage around that is three strikes, you're out. Like I just went three strikes, you're out when that hit at the YouTube. But it was also lovely to give me the idea that I didn't actually have to have a physical copy of that book, that that book actually exists in an audiobook form. Mm-hmm. And I actually these days prefer the audiobook to actually reading a regular book as a stepping into a first introduction when I can. Because I do recognize that I learn really well when I'm hearing. And when I'm writing, like when I'm able to write notes and hear, I think the only other really great thing is when I can hear and look at a board or look at something that might be a PowerPoint, something that's giving me a little bit of a visual, then, you know, that's the best for me. And then I can write. And there are people that have studied this concept of writing and remembering, and they would speak about the studies that have said to write your notes in blue pen, not in some other color pen, even though it might be wonderful to write in pink or purple or green or whatever color you want to choose. But the experts that have studied this have literally said, if you want to remember your notes, then your best way of remembering your notes, if you're a note taker, is to write them in blue pen.
Interesting.
And so, you know, so that's what I do. I really just try to find the blue pen and write those notes. So anyway, getting to kind of David Hawkins in this book, he's got, you know, one message in this book, and he just beautifully does it and beautifully teaches it. He really is talking about how to unravel, how to unwind, how to let go of past trauma and past pain in a very elegant way. I am a Virgo. I do like efficient. But as you and I, Lori, were talking about before we got on to this talk, I like efficient, but I don't want efficient in a way that dominates over somebody's process. I always want to be mindful of the fact that people have a process. They have a way of unwrapping themselves. They have their own divine self-sovereignty that they might not be aware of, but that is there. And I love the fact that he's there when he's speaking and teaching and showing us this. So he speaks about the pathway to surrender, the pathway to releasing that has been dogging you and contained within you. He speaks about feeling. He speaks about one specific feeling and getting to the connection of one specific feeling that whatever that is that's been bugging you connects to. And the willingness, your willingness, the participant's willingness to choose not to suppress that feeling, or not to repress that feeling, or not to escape from that feeling, but the choice to say, okay, all right, I'm taking some time with myself today. This has been bugging me. This is coming up. This is in my face again. This is a repeating pattern. I'm taking some time for myself today to really ask that question. What is the basic feeling? What is the basic feeling here that I have been working to repress, working to suppress, working to escape from? What is that feeling? Because I have a willingness today to know that truth and to release that feeling. To fully release that feeling. because I am starting to understand that that feeling originally felt once just as a pure feeling, started to have a belief system and then potentially hundreds of belief systems that connected into that one feeling that have been ruling my world and dominating over my world ever since. And I don't want to be dominated over anymore from that experience, from the thoughts that were connected to that original feeling. I am choosing to be free. I am choosing freedom from that feeling. And all of the belief systems that have connected themselves, again, like a molecular structure, like a giant octopus, to that one feeling. I'm choosing freedom for myself.
Yeah.
From that event, whatever that was, that event back at 5 years old or 10 years old, or, and I think if anybody was listening to last week, from that chocolate chip within the wholeness of my cookie that is still resonating with that issue, that problem, that time in my life. And so I've sat with that, and I do lots of releasing work with people. And I have done lots of finding core belief systems, that really just changed somebody's perspective, like just like put their feet, you know, turned in a different direction in their life. But it was so delicious to sit there with him and go to a simpler level to say, wow, is that just a better way? Is that a better way? A more delicious way of bringing people to freedom, to seeing more of their own light, to not being dominated over by past experiences that have not been reconciled or believed could never be reconciled. It's been a very interesting couple of weeks. And I've done a lot of personal work, and it's been really wonderful to sit with some pieces of my story, so to speak, that I'm very well aware have still been a part of my world, and to sit mindfully, to take the time with myself, to sit mindfully and sit with one of those time frames in my world and sit with it from this place. And as I said last week, and it's been kind of a thing for a long time in my practice, keep it simple, smarty. I love this.
Me too.
And I went, this book was written in 2012. This is not a new book. It was written in 2012, and I didn't find it. I saw it, and I moved past it. I deleted it. I just put it aside. So what's that about? To me, I think, okay, I have certain belief systems. I have certain belief systems in play. My brain sees things in a certain way. So when that book came into my consciousness, because I remember the cover of that book. When that book comes into my consciousness, it doesn't fit in anywhere for me. It's not a match. It's not a match for where I am. It's not a match for what I'm doing. It's not a match for me. So the brain just goes, oh, and it's gone.
Right.
It's not for me. It's not for me. Why? Why? Why is it not for me? Why was it not for me then? I saw that book. And, you know, I could dig into that for, you know, 2 months, the where's and the why's of why that was not for me. Or I could just accept that there had to have been belief systems in place for me that just would not allow. It's, if you think about cogs and wheel, it's just like it wasn't a fit.
Right.
It wasn't a fit. And even when I got told by my business coach, you know, read this. This is good. Read this. There's lots of really good information. It's a good fit for you. It still wasn't. I didn't act on it. And then I get told again. It's like, oh, yeah, okay, yeah, good, yeah, yeah. I got told that by my business coach, and I still didn't act on it. And then the third time when I see it coming in a video form and an audio form, I then sit down to listen. I then sit down to say, okay, this must be a match, or this is a match for me. Maybe it's a match for me because I'm hearing it now in an audio form rather than having to pick up a book.
Right.
Or order a book and wait for it to come. Or line up to get a book. I don't know, but I think, but or each time I got presented that as a next step, each time I got presented that and said yes and said yes, you know, I'll look at that, but didn't, it got into my consciousness a little bit more. It brought up what the resistance was. I then get told again, it goes into my consciousness a little bit more, brings up for me what the resistance is, until by the time I get the audio version in my face, or the that there is no real resistance to just acting on listening to it.
Yeah, it's fascinating. I know at the time that I read it, it was just a time that I had so much stuff going on that I needed to let go. So I thought, I need this book.
And did it help?
It did help, but now I think I re-need it. I think it's going to be a different experience when I go. I mean, that was his very last book. He died in 2012. So
yeah, well, I knew it to be his very last book, which is why I was surprised when you said there was something that was out as of last year. And I'm like, well, what was that? I thought he died quite some time ago.
He did. Obviously, I think it's the Transcending Levels of Consciousness.
Oh, well, that was the first book. Okay. My relationship with David Hawkins was such that.
Oh, no. That was
the very first book that he wrote was a book called Power versus Force.
Yes. Yes.
And that book was all about the scientific proving around muscle testing.
Yes.
And I love the concept that somebody was giving us the science around the hows and the whys that muscle testing, or what we used to call kinesiology, worked. Loved it. But when I got into the book, I couldn't read the book.
Oh.
I couldn't make sense of the book. And I'm very happy to know that there were other people that I consider smart, intellectually smart, and more intellectually smart than me, for sure, and they were having a problem with that book too.
Right.
And the moment that I heard they were having a problem with that book, I went, oh, good, I'm so happy now that you're having a problem with the book and it's not just me. That book for 10 years in my office was kind of like my, I'll keep it, I don't get it, I can't read it, I can't make sense of it, but I'll keep it in my office because I should be able to make sense of it one day, and I will master it one day, and I will figure it out. And it was all about me and smart and not smart. And somehow that book was going to be my barometer for telling me I've changed and I'm now smart. Like I something intellectually that I've done so that I will now be able to understand that book. And finally, about 10 years later, I remember just being so frustrated. The font was a curious font from its beginning. And I realized now I had an allergy to that font. Oh. And you can have an allergy to anything. And I had an allergy to that font. And it was one of the reasons why that book was so problematic for me to read. I finally just gave the book away to Value Village. I said, that's it. I looked at that book. I held that book. I said, I love you, book, but I am not going to let you be my barometer for how smart I feel or not smart I feel. I just have to accept that maybe I'll always be some level of non-intellectual that will never understand this book. And I'll get by. I'll figure it out a different way. I'll learn what this book has to teach me from somebody else, some other way. And I just gave it away.
Right.
And there was such a nice feeling when it was gone. It really was. There was such a beautiful, nice feeling. I hear, and maybe this is it, because I hear that Hay House, because Hay House is now his publisher.
Right.
And I hear that Hay House re-released that book. So who knows? Maybe they re-released the book, changed the font of that book. Maybe, maybe they cleared some possession thing in the book. Who knows? Like it was just, it was lovely to just kind of get that this wasn't just about me. Right. Transcending Levels of Consciousness was the next book that I stepped into of his, slowly stepped into of his, thinking, oh my God, am I doing this again to myself? And it was a wonderful book. It was a wonderful book. It was easy to understand, had a font that wasn't driving my brain crazy. And there was a lot of beautiful information in that. In fact, that was, I took pieces of that book out. And became handouts for the energy medicine students to basically give them the idea that consciousness matters when you're working with clients. Like you've got to meet them in the consciousness level that they are. And that book really helped students to understand that, to understand that people are at different levels of consciousness. And I think they always will be. And he explained it. He explained where the level of consciousness is for a significant amount of people that land themselves in prisons and in the prison system. Right. Anyway, that's probably beyond this talk, but I was very happy to be in a relationship with that book.
Yes.
Extremely happy to be in a relationship with this one.
Yes. And okay, so they must have re-released it because it came out last year, and there's a new one called and just so we know, this is going to be weird. It's called Reality, Spirituality, and Modern Man. And do you know what the date it came out on?
No, what?
Today.
Huh? And by him?
Yeah, but I don't know. It says this is the seventh book in the Progressive series on the revelations of consciousness research. I don't know. Explains how.
Wow! So yeah. they must have gotten some of his old, of a bunch of notes.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's interesting. What's it called again?
It's called Reality, Spirituality, and Modern Man.
Okay. All right. Well, I think I have to maintain being in relationship with this Letting Go book first because it feels like this is. Yeah, this is the essence of David Hawkins that I'm supposed to be in relationship with right now.
Yeah.
It's a lovely, simple kind of concept. And I liked his wording too. The wording of what is the basic emotion? What is the basic emotion that is or feeling that it's at the root of this issue? That I am still holding. What's the basic feeling? Now, when I was listening to the person who was speaking his book, he didn't direct anybody to go to heart, but that's where I would be directing somebody to go to,
right. Is
to go to heart, to go to the master brain of heart. We find some of our greatest pieces of information from the master brain of heart. We've got two master brains, the heart and gut brain, that are both connected to feeling. And then we've got our beautiful head brain that is connected into all of our logic, and does, of course, have an intuitive nature to it as well. And sometimes our head brain can dominate. I love that word dominate for this session. Mm-hmm. Our head brain can dominate over our process so that we never really get to understand the feelings that really are being held on to and creating these webs, these molecular structures of, let's call it, pain. So it's like, so we are living in pain. And do we have to live in pain? Is it part of the human experience that we live in pain? These molecular structures of pain that are creating our suffering? I can't tell you how many times when I've been in the presence of a client over the last 3 or 4 years, and I always just want to sit there to be in my role. What is my role? That client and I are not together on that day unless I know there is a role for me to play in whatever is going on with them. And my mentor, I love her, love her. She's no longer practicing now, Virginia. And she was always adamant about that. Always adamant about the concept of, you know, make sure, Tracy, sit quietly. Do you have a role here to play with this person and be clear about what that divine role is? And do only that. And play only that part. And don't step on somebody else's toes and don't dominate over their process. Or step into the job that really is the job of another. You know, just be mindful to that and clear to that. Yes. So what I was being called to help with on those days was helping them to upgrade their conscious and unconscious knowledge of what it means to be human here on this planet. And exactly what I was just speaking about, this idea of, do we really need to be in this pain? Am I holding on to this pain? Am I suffering in this way because it is the human experience to be in pain and to suffer? And this is my chosen way. This is my unconscious or conscious chosen way to be in pain and to suffer. This is a better option of pain and suffering than that one over there or this person's over there. This is my pain and suffering. This is the pain and suffering that is my family's pain and suffering. Like, we have to be in pain and we have to suffer. And that is just the human way. And that is just the human experience. It is interesting. I remember somebody saying to me more than a few years ago that, you know, the Buddhist idea would say to be human is to suffer. And I first heard that. I thought, is that the truth? Is that the truth? Is that what is being believed? Is that the truth? I thought, well, how can I follow that? How can I follow that? I don't want to follow that. I don't want to adopt that. I don't want to assimilate into that belief structure. It took 2 or 3 years to really sit with the concept of, well, maybe the Buddhist way was right. Like maybe what they were seeing was that was what the human experience was currently. Not what it had to be, but what it was currently.
Right.
To be human is to suffer. But it doesn't need to be that way. Does it need to be that way? but it is that way. It is that way now.
Right. And I've seen, you know, I've seen the Pollyanna people that, you know, pretend that everything's perfect and it just doesn't feel right. So I tend to agree that that's just where we are now. I really hope that at some point we can get beyond it. But I think that is the thing that sort of pushes us. Those Pollyanna people that think that everything's perfect, they don't get pushed to grow.
Yeah, and of course, there's another concept, right?
Right.
So how do we grow? Do we grow through pain? Do we grow through suffering? How do we grow? What do we put in our experience to grow us? Do we put conflict in our experience? Do we put pandemics in our experience? Do we put crisis in our experience? What do we need to grow us? And it's interesting, right? You look at a flower. What does it need to grow itself? It needs water and it needs nutrients. It needs a good terrain. It needs a good terrain of soil. Most plants. And it grows. It has some sort of innate wisdom within the seed, within its consciousness, that it just grows. But somehow for us, we've got, again, dominating over the process, right? We've got some idea of all of these things that have to be put into place that go beyond, you know, food, good food and water and clean water to grow us.
Yeah.
And I didn't even know we would be, you know, walk in the path of even discussing this, but now I feel like we're two philosophers sitting at, you know, each table, you know, so more than socially distanced. You're in one portion of the beach neighborhood. I'm in another, more than socially distanced as we're having this conversation. So, but again, consciousness, you know, what do we really need? And I think it's something that I've worked numerous times with clients around this idea of inheritance. Mm. You know, do we have to take in all of the inheritance? Can we say no? Can we release some of it? Can we close the doors on some of it? Do we have to just take it all? Mm. That which has been passed forward. Is it even best for us to hold that, contain that? Or should we now just start to give some of this stuff away, to recognize it has no value? It has no value, and to continue to carry it forward and continue to keep it housed in our DNA is harmful.
Yeah.
It's harmful. It keeps the human experience smaller than it could be.
So it's more letting go than giving it away, because I wouldn't want to give that gift to anybody else.
Well, I like to call it giving back to source, recognizing it's all energy, right?
Just I can just see somebody listening to you, though, and thinking, oh, okay, I'm going to give it to...
Well, no, I've never been a big person for that. I've never even been a big person for somebody spews you with a whole bunch of anger, so figure out some way to deflect it right back to them. I've never been a big person for operating a technology like that.
Yeah, me too.
It's more about, you know, creating a technology or putting in my consciousness a technology that if that stuff's happening, then, you know, my technology actually transmutes it and delivers it back as love. Mm. Right? Because I just, yeah.
Yeah.
So here we are with this concept. One feeling that we've been running away from, one feeling that we're trying to escape from, one feeling that we're repressing and suppressing, that we're operating, that we're avoiding, that we're creating programs and patterns to avoid that feeling.
Right.
You know, at all costs, avoid that feeling. Because it was such a difficult, challenging feeling when it was first felt. And we didn't know what to do with it when we felt it.
Yeah.
and it was unexpected when we felt it. And we were overwhelmed when we felt it. And quite honestly, we just didn't know how to handle it.
Yeah. And our brain, being the beautiful brain that it is, sort of packs it away to say, okay, well, we don't want to feel that, so we're going to try and, you know, shift everything so you don't feel it because that was too traumatic. And it's not really helping us.
Well, it's also the piece, and I like to actually teach it to students as well because it's super cool. It's the concept that when these things go on and we have that feeling and then we have a belief system that comes into play with that feeling. So let's say, you know, dad's screaming, he's yelling, and that anger coming, that yelling anger coming is something that I can't deal with. I can't deal with that. I'm 5, I'm 4, I'm 3. What's the thought process as dad's yelling? Is the thought process he doesn't love me? Mm. It's got to be simple. You're an 8-year-old. You're a 5-year-old. You're a 3-year-old. In fact, somebody said to me, it's so simple that it's no more than 8 words. Mm. You know, the thought that is generated by a child is no more than 8 words. It's that simple. He doesn't love me. He doesn't like me. So that gets accepted because you've got all this going on inside of you now. You've got all this energy going on, and it's so troubling that the brain just wants to file it. It just wants to file it. If it can get it filed, it can get beyond it. Hmm. If it can get it filed, it can. And it's not about filing truth. It's just about filing something away. Filing something away so the brain can focus attention somewhere else.
Right.
So that the brain can start to shut down all these chemicals that are cascading in the blood. It can start to change things in the physiology. So the brain files that as the accepted kind of truth of the day. He doesn't like me or he doesn't love me. And then that gets filed away. Mm-hmm. And then the child has filed that away, that he doesn't love her or he doesn't love him. And everything starts to calm down. Because it starts to calm down the overwhelm. It starts to soothe the process. It starts to still the waters as the brain can file that. And then the child, maybe a minute later or 2 minutes later, can start to turn their head and focus attention maybe on another toy and isn't so overwhelmed and can start to reach out a hand to pick up that toy or to pick up that block, to start to put that block slowly on another block and focus attention in a different way. And they're free. They're free. They're free to focus somewhere else.
Right.
They're free to do something else. They're free from that overwhelm. They're free. It's the paradox of the universe. They're free, and yet they're not free. The price of their freedom, the cost of their freedom, is that they have now accepted and filed away a truth that is not a truth, that now accepts that the father doesn't love them, or the father doesn't like them, or they're not as good as their brother, or they're not as smart as that was mine, they're not as smart as da-da-da. And they filed that away. And that very filing can now define choices. It defines what's going to feel okay 20 years later or 18 years later when there's a choice of whether to go to university or not and what courses you'll take. Hmm. And what will feel right and what won't feel right and what will be a match and what won't.
and how we add fuel to that story every time something that's similar occurs, even though it isn't what is occurring, but we interpret, we see it, we feel it that way.
Yeah, and it is interesting because in that story, it's not the anger. It's not the anger. That child that is experiencing that at 3 or 4 is probably not angry. That child has brought in all of that anger. That child was very vulnerable. It was probably a big open book at that time, has brought in that sea of the father's anger. But what is the feeling that that child is feeling? Probably fearful, terrified. That's the feeling. Yeah. The feeling of terrified is the feeling. And then there's this overlay of that anger, that wash of anger that's there. It's creating part of the molecular structure, but the real feeling for that child is terrified. And is there some belief structure in the Western psychology or in the human psychology that says that there needs to be a father figure to be feared? In order for you as a child to be stable and grounded and do the right thing and follow the right path and stay the course, there's a father figure that needs to be feared? And is that the very moment where that is answered? Hmm. Where that is brought into the conscious experience so that you might be successful, so that you might be the have the greatest chance of success because you now have that triggered? Maybe it's just triggered. It's a very interesting world to sit with, you know, what we have believed that we needed to succeed, to grow, to be ourselves, to know ourselves, to be here, to exist here. What we believed that we have needed, we have given ourselves what we have believed we needed. Our parents have given us what was believed to be needed. Not necessarily what truthfully is needed, but what was believed to be needed.
Right.
And so I do a lot of that. I do a lot of that. Is this the truth? Divine, I am within me. Is this the truth? Is this the truth? Or is this belief? And I don't think we'd even be able to have the discussion that we're having today, you know, 10 years ago. Like the upgrading of the healing experience, like to upgrade the healing experience, to allow the healing experience of a human to be easier than we have allowed it to be. You know, when I look now, when I see and I go, okay, so the cancer, the protocols for cancer, the protocols for disease, they are a match for how what we believe is healing. We have to match where the consciousness is around healing. So if it's believed internally at the unconscious level that we will not know or accept that we are healed until we have gone through a certain process, until we've gone through enough suffering, enough pain, enough hardship, enough of this or that, we will put ourselves through what we believe we need to go through to be able to accept within ourselves that is healed. That is healed. I am recovered.
Right.
And when I really saw that, I went, wow. Does it really need to be like this? Is this really what healing needs to be? Does it need to be this complicated? Does it need to? And the answer was no. So I thought, wow, wouldn't it just be easier? Wouldn't it just be easier, more filled with grace, more honoring of the grace that could be here, that is here, if we upgraded the healing process? so that we can heal in a way that's a match for the upgrade. So that healing can be simpler, healing can be delicious, healing can be effortless. Healing can be a beautiful process. A not painful process of just unwrapping, releasing this one feeling. Just releasing it. Fully releasing it. But how can you do that? How can you follow what David Hawkins is speaking about in this book if you haven't got some sort of an upgrade for healing? You'll never find the book. You'll never find the book, or you'll never believe when you've even done the work that it's done. Because it's too simple. It's too elegant. It's too simple. It's too easy. It's not a match.
Right.
It's not a match for what I need to be able to say to myself, oh, I'm free of that. And if we don't have some upgrade for the human experience, then what David Hawkins is offering, it's not going to be a match for that either.
Right.
And so these sorts of things are probably exactly the reasons why I saw that book and it went right past me. I wasn't ready for that book.
Do we just ask for the upgrade?
Yeah. Yeah, but and it can be that simple. I mean, if you look at what's going on with your computers, look at how many frickin' upgrades are going on every week.
True, right? That.
But when was the last time you really sat and said, hey, are there any upgrades for me? Are there any upgrades for me to be able to handle the upgrades that are happening over here? Like, maybe the one of the reasons why the computers are becoming so overwhelming is because we're not upgrading ourselves. And upgrading our capacity to manage the technology that is doing all of this. But I think, you know, what's happening outside of us, there's nothing that is happening outside of us that is not going on within us, or that doesn't have a capacity to go on within us, because we are the ones that have invented all of that. So I sit there, like, I am certainly not what I would call a computer guru at all. But I do wish to sit in some connection of expertise when it comes to being helpful to the human. Like, there are other people that would say, no, I'm an animal person. I'm a human person. I am here on this earth to be helpful to humans. It's not that I don't love animals. I love animals, but I don't believe that that's my calling.
Right.
My calling is more to be helpful here to humans. And to me, it's like, yes, it is that simple. It is that simple. It's like, it's to have the awareness, to have that, wow, oops, like, wow moment. Like, wow, I never thought that I could upgrade myself. And I do like, when I'm working with an energy medicine class, I do like writing on the board. Like, I can do it by computer, but I like it. It's more delicious to me just to take a piece of chalk, draw a gingerbread man on the board, say to the students in the class, this gingerbread man, this gingerbread person, that's your physical body. And then they can all laugh. I say, well, I can only draw frogs and gingerbread people. So we're just going to say that's the human physical body right now. And then I'll draw out the auric field layers. So the etheric field, And then I'll literally say, okay, look, see the band of the etheric field just beyond the physical body. Like, get a vision of that. Like, it's another gingerbread man. Gingerbread person just beyond the physical body. And I'd say that etheric field gave rise to the physicality, not the other way around. Field first, physicality later. energy first, quantum physics, basic quantum physics, everything is energy in the physical world. Everything is energy first. So that etheric field was the energy that gave rise to all the particles and continues to give rise to all the particles of your physicality. And then I would draw out these other greater gingerbread persons until I got to the end one, which I call divine body or highest intelligence. And I'd say whether you believe that you have that highest intelligence within you or whether you don't, it doesn't matter to your highest intelligence. Belief doesn't matter. If you have an intention that you want to connect with that highest intelligence aspect of yourself, you will. Just by that intention. What my friends who see auras would say is I'm drawing out all these gingerbread, bigger and bigger and bigger gingerbreads. They would say, it doesn't look like that, the aura. And I say, I know, but it's a good concept for people to get. Because they would more talk about the gold, silver strands within the technology that are our divine highest intelligence, that divine body. And those gold, silver strands are everywhere. They're everywhere. They're within us. They're beyond us. They're everywhere. And it's a desire to connect to those strands. And so it's almost like if you don't believe it, then that's okay. Just choose today to be the fool. Just choose today to be the fool. Just quietly go into a space, close the door, and decide for 5 minutes you're going to be the fool. For 30 seconds, you're going to be the fool. Nobody's around. Nobody's going to hear you. You don't even have to speak out loud. It's an intention to connect to that divine body, that divine presence within yourself. And from that place, you're connecting with the upgrading of the technology. Because that's your light app. You have a light app in your technology. And so you're just desiring to connect to that light app to push the button by your intention. Your intention is the button. And your intention is to exactly that end. If in fact this is truthful, and if it's in my highest interest to do this today, because I only want to operate from my highest interest, the highest interest of self and the all, the highest interest of the all to make this change. The highest interest of all of me, that it would be good for the wholeness of me, good for the wholeness of me and good for the wholeness of the world and beyond, that I make this change. Then I will make this change. And so I'm choosing this. I'm choosing the upgrade. I'm choosing to upgrade my human experience. I'm saying yes to that. I'm choosing to receive an upgrade. If an upgrade is possible, I'm choosing to receive it into me, an upgrade of what it means to heal. What that looks like. What that can look like now. So this is a willingness to change. A willingness to change for the better. A willingness to change how I operate. How I operate, how I see things, how I operate for the better of me and for the better of the world and for the better of everything beyond that. For the better of the wholeness of me. The wholeness of this world and the wholeness of it beyond even that. I make this choice. And recognizing that our divine I am, that technology knows how to take care of you in that process. knows how to not only deliver in that upgrade, but how to upgrade any portion of you, nervous system wise, circulatory wise, to upgrade any portion of you that is needing to be upgraded to be able to receive that.
Beautiful.
And just, isn't that cool, the feeling of that? Like, yeah. As I say that to you?
Yeah.
It's like the feeling of that, like the feeling of that in the body. It's like, wow, wow, I have this capacity at that place within me. And the answer is, yes, you do. And you can feel it. Like, I know you can feel it. I can feel you feeling it.
Yeah.
And yet consciously, you have no idea how to do that. And yet you know that you are doing that.
Yeah.
So we have the capacity at that level not only to deliver to us new upgrades as we become aware of them, but we have the capacity at that level to prepare the body and the physicality and all of the fields for those upgrades. So that we're not getting beyond ourselves.
Yeah.
And I love what the scientists are calling, they're studying what they call the God field. Mm. They're studying the God field and they're calling it the quantum field of all possibility. This gold, silver strand technology within you or me is that quantum field of all possibility within us. That concept of within the part is the whole. So if I am a part of this universe, within the part is the whole. The whole of what is within this universe exists in me, the part. So if they're studying a God field within the universe, and I am a part of that, then I can start to study the God field within myself. Mm. That part that they are studying in this universe exists within me. It's the same premise as they look at the bottom of the feet and they've mapped the bottom of the feet and they've seen the wholeness of the physical body in the bottom of the feet.
Right.
We've seen it in the palms of the hands. In the Ayurvedic world, we see it in the lips. We see it in the tongue. They've mapped, and in German New Medicine, they've mapped the whole brain. The physicality of the whole body within the brain. Right. Within the part is the whole. So if they can study the God field, the quantum field of all possibility in the universe, is it time for me to study that quantum field of all possibility within me and what is possible? That's where that upgrade is coming from. Wow. And it comes from us looking around at what's going on and saying, they're doing that out there. That's going on out there. Is it possible for that for me? Within me? Is it possible for me to bring in an upgraded immunity system? An upgrade for my immune system that would be able to handle something like this coronavirus? Because all they keep telling us is we're not going to be able to handle this without a vaccine. Well, wait a minute. Is there an upgrade? Is there an upgrade that can possibly happen? A divine within self. And it's like, it's what Albert Einstein would say. When the imagination comes into alignment with highest intelligence, what can be innovated from that place? Because if there's a quantum field of all possibility, well, I hadn't thought about that possibility of an upgraded technology within self for immunity. I hadn't thought about that until right now. But if that's possible, and why wouldn't that be possible? We're upgrading everything else. We're upgrading all sorts of other freaking technologies right in front of my head. Why can't I upgrade this within myself? Mm-hmm. And what the heck? Why don't I just say yes to that if it's safe, appropriate, highest and best interest for my own wholeness, highest and best interest for the all? I'm going to say yes to that and see what happens. Why not?
Why not?
Why the heck not? What do I have to lose? What do I really have to lose? I've used my cover my ass affirmation, safe, appropriate, highest. I've been saying that for years, the cover my ass affirmation, safe, appropriate, and highest and best interest of the all, highest and best interest of my wholeness, highest and best interest of all wholeness. I think I've covered that off. I'm only saying yes under those conditions. And where am I turning to? My quantum field of all possibility, the God spark within myself, the gold, silver strands of technology that we don't learn about in school. We don't learn about ourselves at that level. And I'm saying yes from that place. Because that place has no capacity. That place has no capacity to do harm.
Yeah.
So I'm saying yes from that level. Well, I had no idea we were going here, but I think that's a cool
yes
place to end this.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Powerful. I had no idea we were going to talk about upgrades like that, but I love the talk and I love where it went.
Yeah, me too. Amazing. Amazing, amazing, as you are.
Okay, and I have to get off to a dentist appointment for 2:20 at the other end of the world, and I've got to figure out how I get an upgrade for, I don't know.
Getting there quickly?
Who knows? We'll invent it, an upgrade for teeth so they don't create cavities. Who knows?
Oh, but please do.
Right now, I'm off to the dentist, and I'm not a big fan of the dentist. But anyway, being a big girl.
Well, better you than me.
Anyway, it's been lovely chatting today.
It has. All right. So, you've been listening to News for the Heart, and we're beginning The Heart of What Matters with Tracy McBurney. Fascinating discussion on upgrades and letting go. I highly recommend getting that book because it really is amazing, and I know I'm going to reread it. So thank you, Tracy.
Thank you, Lori, for all that you're offering here. Thank you. We'll talk soon.
Have a question for Lori and want to be on the next News from the Heart show? Drop us a line via instant feedback at bmajor.org. News from the Heart is brought to you by Intuitive Soul and is produced by Major Radio for Clear Channel's iHeartRadio and bmajor.org.